Lord, we asked you to help us. We realize we have an infirmity in the flesh, and you realize, you said in Psalms that you know that we're just flesh. And Lord, I pray for these people. I pray for these requests, and I pray for that family that lost a loved one and the children. Lord, I pray that your will be done in their lives, and you give them grace and, Lord, strength. And I pray for the people that are sick. I know, God, that you have the power, and I know that you're able. And Lord, I just pray that your will be done in their life. And help us to accept your will. And help us to trust you that you do the right thing. But I know, God, you said your grace is sufficient. Lord, when Paul, he prayed three times and asked you to remove a thorn, and you finally spoke to him and said, your grace is sufficient. Lord, I pray for the grace of God in the lives of these people. And Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them and help them. And Lord, we look forward to the day when we have a body like your body. When we have no aches and pains and no heartaches and no mental breakdowns, we'll be just like you. Lord, I look forward to that day. And Lord, if there's one here, and you know every heart that's here, that's never been saved and they don't know you, Father, I pray that they'll see their need and trust what you did for them on the cross. Dear God, everything is accomplished. We'll give you the praise for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to put another thing. I left this up here on the board. There's another appearing. And that will be the second coming, when he comes to the earth, and of course the kingdom will be out here. And we have, as you know, the Antichrist and this tree have been here, but then there is a appearing here, and he came down. And that would be the first appearing. You have two firsts and two seconds. This is be his life from this point to here. And that would be the life of Christ in here. And people get them all mixed up. They're like the children of Israel. The children of Israel saw this in prophecy, and they mistake that for this. And they looked over here, and they couldn't figure this out. But yet they saw the sufferings and the glory, and that would be there, but they couldn't see in between. They could see the Antichrist. They could see the tribulation. But they couldn't see this. And it's unsearchable. And it's called the unsearchable riches of Christ. And you can't search it out. There's nothing in the Bible, if you took Romans through Philemon out, there's nothing in the Bible that would even indicate that God would have mercy upon people like you and me. Nothing. The only people that God had mercy on was those that blessed the seed of Abraham. And the nations that cursed the seed of Abraham, God cursed. nothing about you and me. Nothing about Him forgiving you of all your sins, wiping the slate clean of all your crimes against Him. And David said when he sinned, David was a man after God's own heart. And David committed sins that there was no sacrifice for. There was no sacrifice that you could bring to God to atone for the sins David committed. David committed murder. David committed adultery. There was no sacrifice for those sins. The only penalty for those sins was death. And David said, against thee and against thee only have I sinned. Your crimes, your sins is not so much against fellow man, it's against God Almighty. But God never promised to forgive you of your sins. God never gave a promise in this Bible that He would save a man like me. There was no Israelite for me to bless to get on good terms with the Lord. This was unheard of. In fact, look in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, notice what he says there in verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid, where? In God. Not in the scripture, in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. I want you to compare something with me. Turn back to Acts and look in Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3 and take Romans chapter 16. These two verses here ought to clarify everything that I'm talking about. Look in Acts chapter 3 and notice what he says there. In Acts chapter 3, I'm going to read about four verses, but look in verse 18. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all His prophets that Christ should suffer, He hath so fulfilled. Did God show the sufferings of Christ back here in the Old Testament? Yes, He did. And Christ fulfilled every prophecy. And when every prophecy was fulfilled on that cross of His sufferings, He said, it's finished. It's done. And the only thing that was left was for Him to die. They're wrote about. There's prophesied in the Old Testament of Judas Iscariot betraying the Lord. It's in the Old Testament that Jesus Christ would suffer and He would die and He would be buried and He would be resurrected. It's in the Old Testament prophecy. The death, burial, and resurrection. People say that's the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection is not the gospel. The gospel, the good news is that Christ died for your sins. That's the good news. And that He was buried and God raised Him the third day for your justification. You that are sitting in this room, you that are right here, every one of us is a sinner. We're a sinner by birth. We're a sinner by choice. There is none good, no, not one. We're not worth the gunpowder it takes to blow us into hell. We do not deserve to have God's grace. God never promised to give us His grace. It was something that was hid. It was a mystery that God kept secret. Why? Because he couldn't let it out. He had chose you before the foundation of the world in Christ. He had determined that he was going to do something. He was going to offer grace to mankind in an age out here. And he had to keep that secret. Why? Had the devil known it, he would have tried to spoil the whole thing. Look, and you'll find it also, look what he says there down in verse 21. Acts 3:21. He said, whom the heaven must receive unto the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. What's God been talking about since the world began through the prophets? The sufferings of Christ, of his Son, and how he was going to die. But look in Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Now, folks, you can't make them the same. You can't have God make a known something of Christ and his sufferings and his death since the world began, have him say and then keep something secret. They're not the same. But they have to do with the Paul talking about the gospel that God had kept secret since the world began. Peter's talking about something else. Look back in chapter, notice in chapter 2 of Acts. In chapter 2 of Acts, Peter says all that was written about Christ, he fulfilled, and God had been making that known by the prophets since the world began. Paul said, oh, wait a minute, this suffering's here. It was kept secret since the world began. Folks, I want to tell you something. Things that are different are never the same, and things that are the same are never different. And the twain will never meet. You can't have it both ways. But look in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit upon the throne. David prophesied that God would raise up Christ to sit upon the throne. Right or wrong? Right. But look in 2 Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, notice in verse 7. 2 Timothy 2, 7. Well, I can't read it in Titus, can I? 2 Timothy 2, 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to who? My gospel. What does my gospel, Paul's gospel, does it have to do with the death of Christ? Huh? Is Peter preaching the death of Christ back here? Huh? Is he preaching the resurrection? Y'all just want to quit and go home. Yeah, he's preaching the resurrection. He's saying that we're witnesses of the resurrection. He's preaching that Christ was going to be raised to sit upon the throne. Where at? In the kingdom out here. He's preaching a kingdom gospel. He's preaching the gospel of the circumcision. He's preaching the gospel that you got to be a part of that new nation. He preached that Christ, he said, by wicked hands you've taken and crucified the Lord of glory, but God has raised him from the dead. Listen, you can believe in the death, the facts of the gospel. You can believe in the death, the burial, and resurrection all day long. But folks, believe that he died personally for your sins. That's the only way you're going to have salvation. It's something that's between you and him. But look what he says there. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. My gospel. Well, what is Paul's gospel? Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I hope this ain't boring you too much. But folks, I hope somebody will get something out of it. But you don't hear the gospel anymore. You don't hear about a mystery. You don't hear about Paul. Paul said, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. He said that I magnify my office. Well, bless your souls, if Paul magnified his office, then shouldn't we magnify his office also? He said, be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. He said, you follow me. He said to Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same to commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Folks, I am to commit the things that Paul had got from the Lord. I'm to commit them to you, and you're to commit them to other people. And the thing just works like a chain reaction. If I never commit the things of Paul to you, then I'm not equipping you as an ambassador of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if somebody wants to know how to get saved, take them here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are what? Saved. He said, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for your sins, or for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. So what is the good news that I need to be concerned about? Christ died for our sins. And he tells the people in Romans, look back in Romans chapter 4. He tells the people of Romans, notice what he says there about righteousness. He says there in verse, I'm going to go back and read verse 20. Romans 4:20. He said, talking about Abraham. Now Abraham was 100 years old. God said, you're going to have a son. Sarah was 90 years old. Now I want to tell you, I ask you something. If you live to be 100 and your wife lives to be 90, and there's a man comes to your house, knocks on your door and says, this time next year your wife's going to bear a child by you. What are you thinking about that? 100 years old. Well, I'd say he's crazy. Wouldn't you? Well, that ain't what Abraham did. Now look. Look what he says. Verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. Now what? Dead. And when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't even think about it. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He believed God. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. He believed God. He knew he was talking to God. You know what the problem today is? People don't believe God today. Well, where are you going to find where God said anything to you? You're going to find it in that book you got in your lap. That's God's word. That's what he wants you to believe. The word was made flesh, dwelt among us. He said, behold, I come in the volume of a book it is written to me. That book is the preserved words of Almighty God, but it's to us, but it's not all, or it's for us, but not all to us. You have to rightly divide that Bible. But look on. He said there, verse 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now what's it? Huh? Faith. Fully persuaded what he had promised, there's his word, he was able also to perform. Faith. And therefore it, his faith, was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Righteousness imputed is not imparted, it's put to your account. Righteousness was put to Abraham's account because of his faith. I hope y'all see what I'm talking about. Look on. If we believe on him, now verse 24, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our what? Justification. The resurrection proves that God accepted the sacrifice that he offered for you. I go back to David while you're there in chapter 4. Look back in the chapter. He's talking about righteousness. Notice what he says in verse, I'm going to read verse 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. How does God make you righteous? You have faith. You believe that what God has done, he's able to do it. What he promised, he's able to do it. Well, what did he promise? He promised you eternal life if you would trust in the gospel that he died for your sins. You believe that he went to the cross for you. And God accepts that and imputes to you, puts to your account the righteousness of Jesus Christ. All of that was a mystery. Nobody had heard tell of that. But look on in the passage. Verse 5 again, six. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. David had no sacrifice. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Verse 11, and he received the sign of a seal of the righteousness of what? The faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also, put to their account. Don't you see, folks, God has done everything that needed to be done to save your soul from an eternal hell and damnation. And there's nothing you can do to please God in your flesh. He offered His Son instead of you. He gave a sacrifice for you. And that sacrifice was His Son. And His Son took all your sins. Every bad thing you'll ever do in your life. Every bad thought you'll ever have. And He died on that cross. And He paid for them sins. And God will forgive you. Or He already has. And all you have to do is receive it. It's a done deal. While you're there, look in chapter 5. In chapter 5 and verse 10. Romans 5:10, for if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here it is. By whom we have now, what? Received the atonement. Folks, I want to tell you why people are lost today. I want to tell you why people end up in a devil's hell today. Not because they're bad. They don't go to hell because they're a sinner. Jesus Christ has took care of that part. They go to hell because they won't receive what He did for them. Folks, I want to tell you something. Today, the religious system wants you to get cleaned up, quit this, quit that, so you'll be pleasing to God. And if you'll do that, God will receive you. You couldn't be further from the truth. That's one part of that song that I like. Just as I am, without one plea. There's only one way for you to have eternal life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this was kept secret. All of that was a mystery. Why? One last fast. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 7, you see, man looks at this message that I just preached and he'll say, got to be more to it than that. They'll look at this message and say, I believe we got to do something. I've had them to say, oh, but you got to live it. If you got to live it. If you don't live it, you don't have it. Oh, you can't be saved if you do that or do this. It has nothing to do with your works. It has to do with what you believe. God does not impute the righteousness of Christ based upon what you do. He imputes the righteousness of Christ based upon what you believe. And what do you believe? I believe that He died for my sins. I believe He was put in the ground. And I believe God Almighty, He went into hell. I believe He suffered. I believe He spiritually suffered. I believe He physically suffered. And I believe that God said, it's enough. I'm satisfied. And on that third day, God raised Him from the dead. I believe that. And I believe that He died for me. And if I was the only one living in the world and the only one going to be alive, God would have sent His Son and God would have died for me. It's a personal thing. It's not the knowledge of his death, burial, resurrection. It's the knowledge I'm a sinner, I need to be saved, and I trust that he died for my sins. What more could you do? You can't do no more than that. You want to have eternal life. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom. God had to keep this wisdom. God had to keep what he was doing. He devised a plan. He set a motion in plan before the foundation of the world. And he kept it secret in himself. He didn't let nobody know about it. Why? He said there in verse 7, he said, but wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If he had wrote it down, they would have read it. If he had prophesied it, they would have heard it. He kept it secret that he was going to do something for people like you and me. That ought to magnify the grace of God in your life. That's grace. That's grace for you and for me. Thank you for being here. Shake hands with one another. I hope you got something out of it. I'm like the weak.